Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. At the end of every year, Kellen and I like to get together, and it's great that Kellen comes back for these end-of-year episodes. But we've kind of always done the year in review, and we look back on the state of the world in regards to collapse, and some of that has to do with natural disasters and the state of the climate. One metric that we use to kind of gauge what's happened that year is the number of billion-dollar disasters in the U.S. That number tends to kind of be on, you know, all over the place, but it is on the rise generally. And so as these types of disasters happen throughout the year, they become more noticeable once the news starts talking about the fact they hit that $1 billion disaster mark. We've had a couple of those already this year, and another one was just announced. So this is from the CBC, cbc.ca. It says, thousands urged to evacuate as Hawaii flooding anticipated to cause widespread damage. Governor says storm damage to airports, schools, roads could top $1 billion. It says that as Hawaii enters its worst flooding in more than 20 years, officials are urging people in hard-hit areas to leave now. The warning early Saturday came after heavy rains fell on soil already saturated by downpours from a winter storm a week ago. Still more rain was expected during the weekend. Muddy floodwaters covered vast stretches of Oahu's North Shore, a community world-renowned for its big wave surfing. Raging waters lifted homes and cars and prompted evacuation orders for 5,500 people north of Honolulu. Authorities cautioned that a 120-year-old dam could fail. So there's a lot going on with this storm. The very serious consequences that have already been faced have to do with, like it said, the destruction of homes, the amount of water has washed away foundations, carrying homes away. Luckily, no one was reported dead and no one has been unaccounted for so far, though more than 200 people have been rescued and 10 people have been taken to the hospital with hypothermia. It says dozens, if not hundreds, of homes were damaged and officials haven't been able to fully assess the destruction. More rain is expected. Between 15 to 20 centimeters was forecast to fall in just the next 2 or 3 days. Now, by the time you're hearing this, those 2 to 3 days will have just passed. So you'll have perhaps a little more information if you were to do some research on the outcome. Now, there is a particularly catastrophic threat on the horizon with this as well. In regards to a dam, it says that officials have been closely watching the, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Wahiawa Dam, which has been vulnerable for decades, saying it was at risk of imminent failure. Water levels in the dam, about 28 kilometers northwest of Honolulu, receded by late Friday, but that could change if more rain falls. The state has said the dam has high hazard potential and a failure will result in probable loss of human life. This dam was built in 1906, reconstructed following a collapse in 1921. Now, here's the fun part. Who do you think owns this dam? Well, of course, it is partially owned by a very large corporation, Dole. Dole does, you know, pineapples out of Hawaii. The state has sent Dole 4 notices of deficiency about the dam since 2009, and 5 years ago fined the company $20,000 for failing to address safety deficiencies on time. $20,000 to a corporation like Dole is nothing. It's like fining us $5, right, for a parking ticket. Afterward, Dole proposed to donate the dam, the reservoir, and ditch system to the state in exchange for the state's agreement to repair the spillway to meet and maintain dam safety standards. So what's happening here? Dole gets to profit off of the dam, neglect it, endanger the lives of thousands of people, and then at the end just say, you know what, we don't want to do it. We'll just sell you the dam and the taxpayer can fund the reparations. The state passed legislation in 2023 authorizing the dam's acquisition. It also provided $5 million U.S. to buy the spillway and $21 million to repair and expand it to comply with dam safety requirements. But the transfer has not been completed. A state board is due to vote on the acquisition next week. All right. You likely at this point already know whether or not there has been a major breach of that dam. I'm guessing that it will be wider news and heard by more if it does. Though if Hawaii continues to get hit by this constant rain, the danger may not be over yet. I like this article, not obviously for what's happening, but in the way that it demonstrates, again, another just fascinating aspect of catabolic collapse, or it's just a perfect embodiment of the type of collapse I think we're going to continue to see. As climate change continues, and I've got some really interesting articles that we're going to read here in a moment about that, these types of floods are going to become more prevalent. They're going to happen more often. They're going to become even more intense, more widespread, and this can wreak havoc on infrastructure. Now, it's not just wreaking havoc on infrastructure that has been well maintained, but especially on the infrastructure that hasn't. This dam is a great example of the episode that we did years ago now on the state of our dams. I can't remember the grade that they had received, but dams were probably somewhere at a C or a D on the scorecard that the Army Corps of Engineers uses to grade our infrastructure in the U.S. Some absurd amount of money was required to fix all of the dams. Of course, that money is not going to be spent, at least not quickly. This is a great example of that. We're talking 20 years now of letters being spent, you know, sent, and a single $20,000 fine for a corporation not keeping up on their requirements. And in many cases, it is the state, and taxes can't cover it, or whatever it might be. But the danger of these, you know, in this case, a dam being breached, having catastrophic failure, putting the lives of thousands or millions of people in danger, depending on the location, and creating a zone that is essentially uninhabitable into the future. If that is not a great example of catabolic collapse, I'm not sure what is. All right. I saw a mention in a couple different places that we're now heating the planet to an equivalent of 12 Hiroshima bombs every second. That's impossible for me to imagine. You know, if you had told me we're warming the planet to the equivalent of 12 Hiroshima bombs every minute or every hour or even every day, I would probably be just as perplexed, because I just know that that's a huge amount of energy, and it's hard to understand how that equates when spread across the earth and the imbalance that that causes. But a fun fact nonetheless, 12 Hiroshima bombs added in additional heat every second. Now, on that note, talking about the energy imbalance, the World Meteorological Organization released their State of the Climate Report. And this was a new piece of the report that they don't always include, and was highlighted this time around, which is a focus on the actual energy imbalance itself. And this is something that we don't really talk about a lot, at least on this podcast. I think it is an understated part of climate change. We often think of climate change just in the numbers, right? The weather that it creates, and sometimes in the amount of overall heating from the baseline. This paper talks about how, when referring to the energy balance or imbalance, we're talking about the fact that a steady climate is predicated on the amount of energy, heat energy, entering the Earth's atmosphere being roughly the same as the amount of heat energy leaving the atmosphere. When that happens, the climate can stay steady. And it is not unusual. The Earth does go through cycles of this imbalance happening, where for a while, and by a while, I mean hundreds of thousands of years, the Earth heats more than it cools. It lets in more than it lets out, and that causes the massive climactic cycles that we've seen. And then it shifts, and it lets more heat out than it brings in, and we go back into a cooling period. But obviously, the natural flow of that cycle is being severely disrupted, where now we're not talking about these changes occurring over tens or hundreds of thousands of years. We're talking about these changes being taken place over decades. The amount of heat that the Earth is taking in is far, far more than the amount of heat that the Earth is putting off. This is, of course, because of greenhouse gases that trap that heat energy in our atmosphere. The paper talks about how the oceans are taking in most of that heat, buying us time, delaying us essentially noticing that rapid amount of heat. Those 12 Hiroshima bombs per second over the last however many decades now, instead of being fully manifested in changes in the climate and in temperatures and in weather, has in large part been consumed, buffered by the ocean's warming. Now, there's a delay to this. The oceans hit a point in which they become warm enough, and that has a massive effect on our climates. It will have and is having a massive effect on marine life, on marine ecosystems. And we're approaching or already passing those tipping points in which ocean life begins to fail. So anyway, let's read through some of this stuff here. So it says, WMO, this is the World Meteorological Organization's State of the Global Climate Report 2025 confirms that 2015 to 2025 are the hottest 11 years on record, and that 2025 was the second or third hottest year on record at about 1.43 degrees Celsius above the 1850 to 1900 average. Extreme events around the world, including intense heat, heavy rainfall, and tropical cyclones, caused disruption and devastation and highlighted the vulnerability of our interconnected economies and societies. The ocean continues to warm and absorb carbon dioxide. It has been absorbing the equivalent of about 18 times the annual human energy use each year for the past two decades. Annual sea ice extent in the Arctic was at or near a record low. Antarctic sea ice extent was the third lowest on record, and glacier melt continued unabated, according to the report. Quote, the state of the global climate is in a state of emergency. Planet Earth is being pushed beyond its limits. Every key climate indicator is flashing red, said UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Humanity has just endured the 11 hottest years on record. When history repeats itself 11 times, it is no longer a coincidence, it's a call to act. There's a chart here, it shows the global mean temperatures from 1850 to 2025 using various different models, which all are pretty aligned. And as you've seen, I mean, it's your classic temperature increase chart over time, and the jumps towards the end are massive and make it look clearly and plainly exponential. This year at 1.43 degrees Celsius above the baseline is a dip. The chart shows constant peaks and valleys. Those are getting higher and higher, with this particular dip being higher than the peaks of 2019, of 2020. Super El Niños in the years to follow created a massive spike, meaning that our small dip now is higher than the previous peaks. And guess what? We're headed into another El Niño and potentially Super El Niño, which threatens to take that line once again even higher. Will the valleys of 2028 or 2009 be larger than the peaks of 2024 and 2025? Reading on in the article, it says WMO's flagship State of the Global Climate Report was released on the 23rd of March, which, by the way, is the day I am recording this, which has the theme Observing Today, Protecting Tomorrow. For the first time, the report includes the Earth's energy imbalance as one of the key climate indicators. The Earth's energy balance measures the rate at which energy enters and leaves the Earth system. Under a stable climate, incoming energy from the sun is about the same as the amount of outgoing energy. However, increasing concentrations of heat-trapping greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, to their highest levels in at least 800,000 years, have upset this equilibrium. The Earth's energy imbalance has increased since its observational record began in 1960, particularly in the past 20 years. It reached a new high in 2025. On a day-to-day basis, says WMO Secretary General Celeste Saulo, our weather has become more extreme. In 2025, heat waves, wildfires, drought, tropical cyclones, storms, and flooding caused thousands of deaths, impacted millions of people, and caused billions in economic losses. It says the warming of the atmosphere, including near the Earth's surface, the temperatures that humans feel, represents just 1% of the excess energy, while about 5% is stored in the continental land masses. More than 91% of the excess heat is stored in the ocean, which acts as a major buffer against higher temperatures on land. Ocean heat content reached a new record high in 2025, and its rate of warming more than doubled from 1960 to 2005 to 2025. Another 3% of the excess energy warms and melts ice. The ice sheets on Antarctica and Greenland have both lost significant mass, and the annual average Arctic sea ice extent for 2025 was the lowest or second lowest on record in the satellite era. Exceptional glacier mass loss occurred in Iceland and along the Pacific coast of North America in 2025. The warming ocean and melting ice are driving the long-term rise in global mean sea level, which has accelerated since satellite measurements began in 1993. Ocean warming and sea level rise will continue for centuries. According to projections by the IPCC, changes in ocean warming and deep ocean pH are irreversible on centennial to millennial timescales. And just a reminder that the deep ocean pH affects marine life in every aspect. And these are things that it is saying we cannot change for hundreds to thousands of years. To end here, there's a lot more that it talks about here with key indicators. There's charts and graphs, and I'm going to share this all so that you can look through it. I'll share an article from The Guardian about this report as well. But to end, Guterres says, and in this age of war, climate stress is also exposing another truth. Our addiction to fossil fuels is destabilizing both the climate and global security. Today's report should come with a warning label. Climate chaos is accelerating and delay is deadly. All right. I don't know that we necessarily learned anything new here. This State of the Climate report, I think, though, does a good job of summarizing everything in a very clear way. If you have anyone in your life interested, maybe even slightly, in climate change, maybe they're not, you know, climate deniers, but they just don't understand the science behind it, or up to this point just haven't really cared, this might be a great resource to share. This is coming from a global body. This is not a small report. It's not an opinion. This is scientific information explained out in a clear way, highlighting the dangers of the situation we've got ourselves into and the challenges of bringing about any change, even the impossibility of some of this change because of the sheer momentum and baked-in effect of climate tipping points. Anyway, I'll post it. Thanks for being here. See you tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.